Ladies and gentlemen, boys and ghouls, it's time for Below Grade Level. Listener, beware, you're in for a scare.
Hello and welcome to Below Grade Level, the show where we take the books that we read as kids and read them as adults and ruin them. I'm one of your hosts, Jonathan Eaton. With me, as always, is Becky Eaton.
Hello.
And Chris Zaleski.
Hello.
How's it going, guys?
I'm a pajama boy.
Oh,
yay!
Nice.
Ooh, what's on your pajamas?
Just flannel.
Ooh, that's right.
Chris still in work clothes.
Oh, I'm in. I went to the doctor clothes, which is just regular clothes, I guess. But I didn't go to the doctor today. I'm fine.
Congratulations.
For the most part.
She just gave you a list of a million things
I
to
just
check.
Have a million things to do. I have a lot of doctor homework.
You're fine except for your blood and your cholesterol
and
your knee.
Isn't that what
the doctor's for? And your hearing.
Yeah, I'm fine except for my blood, my cholesterol, and my knee, my hearing, my... what else was there? Was there anything else? I think that's probably
I don't remember.
It.
Oh,
a lot,
anxiety.
A lot of city miles.
My anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm great. I'm a millennial.
Did they give you the option to just, like, jump into the cloning bay and start over?
No, not yet. Unfortunately.
Just and jump into a vat of stem cells.
That voice, yeah. That voice that you hear is our guest for today's episode, Jordan Lincoln. Welcome, Jordan.
Hi.
How's it going with you?
All is well.
Good. It's been a while since you were on the show, and I believe the last episode that you were on was the really, 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 really out of control episode where we read the end of Let's Get Invisible, and there was 100 of us in one room reading that book.
Oh, wow.
And that was years. That was years ago that we recorded that, and that was a little while ago that I released that episode. So it's been quite a while.
How many of us were there?
Oh, I don't know, half a dozen maybe or more.
A whole party.
A whole party's worth of people.
Wow.
We invited a lot of people over. I had a bunch of mics set up and none of it worked very well. And there's a lot of echo and we're all drunk and it's fine to listen to.
Sure.
But Jordan, you are joining us to begin reading this book. And we're getting into spooky season. So we're getting into our favorite thing to do, which is read spooky books.
Indeed.
Have you ever heard of Phantom Valley?
Never once.
And I don't think you guys have either.
No.
Okay.
Not before today.
So this is a me thing. I read Phantom Valley. Spoiler alert, I don't remember a single goddamn thing about any of it. But I have a lot of these books. From what I remember is I was very into Goosebumps as a kid. And so my mom would buy just Goosebumps books and other books that were like Goosebumps for me to read. So I read a lot of this kind of stuff, a lot of, you know,
that little nerd will buy this.
Yeah, exactly. And I had this whole series called Phantom Valley. So tonight we are reading Phantom Valley, The Evil One. And as is our tradition, Chris, would you like to take the viewers, take the listeners on a audio trip and explain to them what the cover of this book looks like?
All right, I'm going to start by reading the words on the cover.
Sure.
Between terror and the unknown lies, Phantom Valley. Now scroll down.
Very well.
It's a nice little Phantom Valley logo, so 90s.
Mm-hmm. I do love the logo.
Monica found the doll. Now a ghost wants it back. And it has a creepy little, like, American Girl doll-looking doll with its mouth open and its hands up. And it's just like, oh. And then there's two 90s-looking girls behind the headstone it's in front of, just in shock. And then scrolling
down more.
The doll
has red eyes, too.
Yeah. And then this one's called The Evil One by Lynn Beach.
Yes, by Lynn Beach. So let's find out if Lynn has anything good to tell us.
Well, as long as she's not a beach about it.
Good one.
You're welcome.
Oh, he highlighted two books.
Is this the first Phantom Valley? Did we accidentally start on the first fucking one?
I think we did.
Wow, we're really good at doing that.
And also,
yeah,
I think you own every single one of these.
Okay, hold on. Just
I'm pretty sure you own every single one of these.
Awesome.
These titles are amazing. I probably do. You got the one we're reading, the evil one. Then there's The Dark. Then there's Scream of the Cat.
The Dark was the one I sent you the picture where that dog looks really shocked on the cover.
Stranger in the Mirror, The Spell, Dead Man's Secret, In the Mummy's Tomb, The Headless Ghost, and Curse of the Claw.
My eyes are bad, so I saw this from far away, and I was just like, does that say Curse of the Curse? That would be really funny.
That sounds like a Dick Albuquerque episode.
Curse of the Curse is Curse. Look at that little guy. Jaunty little guy.
It's a minstrel book.
Okay, so...
Does that mean all the characters are in blackface?
I hope so. It's dedicated to Holly and Monica. Jordan, we didn't tell you it was that kind of podcast.
Decline.
Far right young adult book podcast.
Decline.
Jordan leaves the Zoom. All right, let's get into it, guys. Chapter one.
Real quick, what is the order?
It'll go me, Becca, Chris, you.
Indeed.
And each of us reads a page, and we'll figure out the, you know, we don't know these characters yet, so we're going to get a feel for them. But let's, it's...
There's always a Batman for some reason.
There's usually a Batman. There's always like an old man Withers voice. Like, don't be afraid to swing for the fences when you're doing a voice.
There's always a mom.
See if it, it sticks. Sometimes it doesn't.
Like when you realize it's hard to do Batman for a whole book.
Yeah. Or like, every once in a while, we're like, oh, a Baltimore accent would be fun. And I'm like, I can't sustain that for very long. I'm gonna love it here, Monica Case thought, studying the building that would be her home for the next 9 months. It's going to be like living in the Old West. The school looked like a building from a Western movie. She almost expected to see horse-drawn buckboards.
What?
I'm already so lost. What the fuck is a buckboard?
Buckboard?
That's one word. Buckboard. Buckboard. Anyone know? No one here knows?
I'm Googling
it. I imagine
it.
It's a type of wagon.
It is, in fact, a type of wagon.
Ah. Jordan's our guy in the chair for this episode.
I'm confirmed
it is a wagon.
Ah.
It looks like a very flat, like, big wheels, flat cart type situation.
It's a platform with wheels, presumably, to draw yourself around on.
So it's just like the simplest kind of wagon.
Yeah, it's like the bottom of a wagon.
Yeah, we're like, we got wood and
it's
wheels.
No Conestoga. Yeah.
It's the first thing you make in Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah. She almost expected to see horse-drawn buckboards, which we all know about, and women in long skirts sashaying by. Large and rambling, the dark wooden structure stood in front of a thick pine forest. From the roof of the front porch hung a black wooden sign with gold lettering. Chilling Academy. Chilling Academy.
Chilling Academy.
C-H-I-L-L-E-E-N. Chilling Academy.
I'm sorry.
Chilling.
Chilling Academy.
Can you spell that again?
C-H-I-L-L-E-E-N.
Chilling Academy?
Yeah.
Is this the school, I guess?
I guess so. It's that does
Is it a
not
boarding school? She said she's going to live there.
It's a buckboarding school. Monica set her bag down on the lush lawn and pushed her long black hair out of her face. Staring at the building, she thought of the red brick school she'd attended back home. She wondered what her friends would think if they could see her new school. She closed her eyes a moment and tried to imagine that it was 150 years earlier and she was a pioneer just arriving in the West.
Whoa! Watch out!
See, I'm taking a big swing because I don't know who said that. Monica jumped at the cry and stepped out of the way.
Was her imagination of like an old-timey cowboy.
Wait, no, okay, hang on. No, it's better. Monica jumped at the cry and stepped out of the way to avoid being hit by a girl doing cartwheels across the lawn.
Oh my God.
So you had to do that voice, Becca.
No, that's not happening. I'm sorry, said the girl, righting herself. Are you all right? She brushed a blonde curl from her face and smiled sheepishly. I'm fine, said Monica, wondering if the girl was a little crazy. The grass looks so soft and cool, I decided to practice my floor routine, said the girl. I'm on the gymnastics team. Really? Said Monica. I'm planning to try out. Can you do backflips? Sure, said Monica. What? What's your name, bitch? Like, my best event is the balance beam. Holding her arms out to her sides, Monica ran through a couple of tricks in a routine she had practiced at least 100 times. That was great, said the girl. My name's Kim Harris, by the way. Monica Case. Kim gave her a grin so wide that her eyes became slits, practically disappearing in her round face. That sounds horrifying. She had short, very curly blonde hair above a sprinkling of cinnamon-colored freckles. Did you just get here? Yeah, said Monica. It was a last-minute thing. My dad's an architect, and a couple weeks ago he got an assignment in Italy that'll last a few months. He's there now with my mom and babysitter. How come you didn't go? Said Kim. Monica laughed. I don't speak Italian. Ha 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 ha. No, really, I didn't want to go to an Italian school. By the time I got used to it, it would be time to come home again. You idiot! Go to Italy!
Right?
Idiot?
Yeah. No, she's like, objectively wrong choice.
Old West Town. Yeah. I want to go to fucking the Old West.
Huntsburg.
Chilean.
I do want to say Chilean.
Chilean is wild. Yeah. I can't wrap my head around it.
I don't like it.
Oh my god. Besides, I've always wanted to live out west, and my aunt says Chilean is a good school.
What?
I want to go be in the west at a good school.
Okay,
like all children want.
So, I don't have high hopes. Monica confirmed idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, let me write notes about Kim.
It is, said Kim, especially for the kids who live here. Doesn't everyone, Monica? Monica was surprised. Some of us are day students, said Kim, like me. I live in town with my parents. How long have you been going here? This is my second year, said Kim. I really like Chilean, but it would be neater to actually stay here, even if it is spooky. Spooky? There are all kinds of eerie stories about the academy, said Kim. I'll tell you some of them later. She noticed Monica's small bag. Is that all you brought? We shipped the rest. Well, since you missed orientation, Monica, I'll show you around. Sometime later.
Here are the nerds, here are the sluts, here are the goths.
Inside the big day room, Chilean Academy looked even more rustic and old with its polished wide wooden floorboards. Hung on every wall were framed paintings and photographs of Western scenes. High, pine-covered mountains, red-rocked canyons, sandy mesas, and plains. Even the furniture was rugged and solid. Tile-topped tables were surrounded by wood and cowhide chairs, and carved wooden benches lined the walls. The only thing that seemed out of place was a large screen television set against one wall, with a handful of girls and boys in front of it. It
Chris,
weighed 550 pounds.
Chris, are you also excited for the first adult man character to show up so we can just do Arthur Morgan's voice?
Yeah, and like Sam Elliott and...
Sam Elliott? Oh shit, so many to choose from.
The whole academy used to belong to the Chilean family, Kim explained, sweeping her hand round the day room. That's where the name comes from. Who were the Chileans, said Monica, demanding exposition.
The pioneer family who upsettled the valley. They had terrible luck from the time they got here, and over the years, all kinds of awful things happened to them. Like what? Said Monica, confirmed idiot. Stories about the past always interested in her, like the ones in Italy.
Lots of things. No, Jordan, Old
West. They have a lot of past in Italy.
Yeah,
lots of things. An entire empire's worth of past.
We broke him already.
A couple empires.
Lots of things. Kim pulled Monica to a large window and pointed outside. A Chilean and his son once froze to death during a snowstorm here in the yard, 30 feet from the house. They didn't know how close they were. What bad luck! Yeah, said Kim. Supposedly all the ghosts of the Chileans who died violently still walk around the academy. Cool, said Monica. But does anyone still believe that stuff? Kim gave her an odd look. You'd be surprised. Lots of people believe it. Phantom Valley is a very large, strange place. For one thing, the animals around here sometimes act as if they're haunted.
Did they name it Phantom Valley before all the ghosts or after all the ghosts?
It was a happy accident.
They roam around the burial grounds in Shadow Village?
Excuse me?
Like, here's my question about Chilean. Is that supposed to be a spooky name because it's like chilling?
Like Chilean?
It's not working at all.
No.
That's all I wanted to say. Like, was that an attempt to be spooky?
Maybe it was. Shadow Village, though, I'm into.
I mean, the author had a place they were trying to get to, and they were like, we're going to make sure they get there.
Do you think the author was like, Death Valley, I could do better than that.
They roam around the burial grounds of Shadow Village. They're said to carry with them the spirits of the cannons and the people who've heard all strange noises coming from the Chilean family graveyard.
Like the wolf crying at the blue corn moon.
Monica raised an eyebrow. Do you mean there's a graveyard right on the grounds? It's out in the woods somewhere, said Kim. I've never gone there. It's too scary. It's too scary for me. She stopped in front of a massive polished wood door. This is Miss Danita's office. Danita's office.
Danita.
That's in a hell hyphen you've
Mrs.
got there.
Mrs. Danita's.
Mrs. Danita's office. She's the headmistress. You gotta check in with her. I'll wait for you on the front porch. And when you're done, I'll show you how to get to your room.
I like, I approve of the voice you're doing that's very, like, Gone with the Wind. This tiny girl.
The vapors.
Yeah, exactly. Monica left the headmistress's office with her mind and heart racing in excitement. She had filled out the necessary forms, but only half listened while Mrs. Danita explained about the required work-study jobs, which rotated every 6 weeks, and about lights out and other school rules. How old are these kids? Are they, like, teenagers?
I also, the fact that it's called academy, like, you couldn't possibly call a middle school an academy.
Yeah, and, like, work-study, okay,
but
I guess
they
they're
look
teenagers.
Like, well...
Do they look like
teenagers?
They
look like
this sounds upper school. This sounds upper school to me, but it's also possible that she's an upper schooler and a wider spectrum of students. A lot of boarding schools work that way. Like, Bryn Mawr works that way. Mm-hmm. Like we have them from cradle to grave.
Cool. That is
great. I'm not joking.
Like, they all die there.
Yeah, it's required. It's required. Lights out, other school rules. Monica didn't care about any of that. All she could think about was getting settled in her new room, which, from Mrs. Danita's description, sounded wonderful. The office and the other old-fashioned rooms she had peeked in were so much more spacious and airy than those of the boxy, white-walled apartment she shared with her parents and little sister. Also, the bright, clear sky and spicy-smelling air were welcome changes from the noisy, smoky city where she lived.
I told you it was chilly, Academy.
Strange.
Even the air is spicy.
Is that human? Strangely, even though she already missed her family, Monica felt oddly at home. I belong here, she thought. Uh-oh. She found Kim waiting on the front porch. The girl was standing bent over with her palms flat on the floor, apparently lost in thought. Ass up. Kim straightened up as soon as she saw Monica. Where's your room? Kim asked. Let's see your key. Monica handed it to her. Mrs. Danita says I'm the first person to stay in this room. Really? Said Kim. She squinted at the
Is
number
it a
on
new...
the key and then
Did they just build whistled. The school?
No, it's so old.
First person to stay there, though?
I bet it's haunted. Because Kim squinted at the number on the key and then she whistled. Whoa, she said.
Is it 666?
Maybe you ought to ask for another room, sugar. Why? Kim seemed embarrassed and then a little frightened. Well, she said, you're in the haunted wing.
The haunted wing?
Monica stared at Kim for a minute. Haunted? She said. If that's true, I can't wait. She followed Kim through the day room toward the back of the house. Oh, she's
I love
just
the
like
West
me.
End ghosts.
She wants to get haunted like me, which means Aww. It's never
like,
going
to
happen.
Here's the thing. I want you to appreciate my restraint. Because I'm drinking. And the last time I encountered a character like this was Paul Reiser in Alien 2.
Oh, yeah.
Jordan. We're not, it's can't just kill this teenage girl, Jordan.
Yeah.
No. It's everything I can say to not be like, Monica, confirmed idiot.
Jordan is mad about Paul Reiser.
Is part of the academy really haunted? Supposedly, said Kim, leading Monica into a hallway. It's the oldest part of the house, but there are only a few dorm rooms there. They've been renovating some of it. As they passed through a wide double door, Monica felt a chill.
Ian?
as if the temperature had suddenly dropped. It's cold in this part of the house, isn't it? Said Kim, grinning at her. It's supposed to have something to do with the foundation being made out of a different kind of stone than the rest of the house. I thought she was going to say because of ghosts, not because of the foundation. Monica laughed. If you're trying to scare me, it won't work. I think this is excellent. Well, good, said Kim, after leading her up a long flight of polished wooden stairs, because here's your room. Mrs. Danita told me it once belonged to one of the last Chileans to live here at the turn of the century, said Monica. Her name was Allegra.
Allegra Chilene?
Allegra Chilene, said Kim slowly. I've heard that name before. No, you haven't, because it's insane.
Allegra is an Italian name.
Oh, man.
What if they're Italian ghosts? Allegra Chilene.
A proper spaghetti western.
It's a spaghetti western. Perfect.
I wonder if she was one of the Chilenes who died in the fire. What fire? There was a terrible fire in this wing back in the early 1900s.
Of course there was.
The entire place nearly burnt down, and the whole family died in the fire. It was such a disaster that even when the rest of the building was rebuilt, this wing stayed boarded up. When the school took over, new wings were added, but this wing was left alone. But about a year ago, they started running out of space and decided to renovate this wing and convert it to dorm rooms. Wouldn't the whole building smell like smoke if you just left a whole burnt up wing on it?
Yeah, you would think so.
You'd have to demolish the whole thing and start over. You're not just like putting up some new plaster on top of the burnt up house.
Yeah. Well, that's why the air is spicy.
Oh, spicy with wood smoke.
Yeah.
And dead chilies.
And they built the house out of, they built the house out of mesquite.
Yeah.
Kim continued, some people say the Chileans who died in the fire are still here. At least that's one of the stories that's been passed around. But, Kim added with a grin, as I told you, there are a lot of stories about the Chileans. I want to hear all the stories, said Monica.
So do we. Tell us how they all died.
I am fully team Monica.
I don't know them all, Kim glanced at her watch, and I've got to get home and help my mama with dinner. Well, have a good time unpacking, and I'll see you tomorrow. See you tomorrow, Monica echoed. She watched Kim bound up the stairs, taking them two at a time, then Monica opened the door to her room.
Here, Chris, do this one too, since that was so short.
Chapter 2. From the second she saw the small, cheery room painted a sunny pale yellow, Monica fell in love with it. The ceiling was low and sloped from the center toward two opposite walls. Along one low wall was a window, and on the other was a small closet with a door only as high as Monica's chest. The woodwork was natural wood, varnished to a high gloss. Monica tried to imagine what the room had been like when Allegra lived there. Except for electricity, lamps, and light bulbs, the room didn't look as if it had been changed much since the early 1900s. The renovation...
Except for the fact that it was rebuilt because it was burnt.
Burned out.
Yeah, I know. Didn't you hear what Kim just said, Monica?
They rebuilt it 1 year ago.
I'm on your side, but you are an idiot.
Yeah, they rebuilt it in 1990.
The renovation had been carefully done to retain the right period and time. Allegra would have had candles or a kerosene lamp. She'd probably have had a porcelain wash basin and pitcher on a stand, and wrapped, heated bricks would have warmed her bed on cold nights. Also, the room wouldn't have smelled of fresh paint as it did now. Monica opened the window and peered out at the clear sky above the dark pine forest. She imagined herself practicing bat flips down on the thick lawn, something she'd never been able to do in the city. Also, she's totally finding that doll in that little creepy closet, right?
Oh, fuck yeah, she is. I heard you forgot that there was a doll.
I'm sorry. Hold on, let me channel Monica, Monica, right?
Yeah, yeah, Monica.
Let me work on this real quick.
I just figured you're gonna be like, duh.
No. It's just, it's perfect. No, it's way too New York. Yeah. It's perfect, she thought. Everything here is perfect. Monica felt more than a little shy when she entered the noisy dining hall an hour later. If only Kim were here, she thought. She put a plate of macaroni and cheese in a green salad on her tray and checked around for a place to sit. At a table directly across the room, half a dozen girls and boys were walking and laughing louder than anyone else in the hall. One of the girls, a very pretty brunette with short, glossy hair, was the obvious center of attention. Monica watched as several other students waved and called out to the dark-haired girl. I don't know a single person here, Monica thought.
He didn't know Kim until, like, a 30-second conversation.
Yeah.
Thought in sudden despair. How am I ever going to make friends? You just did.
You just did, easily. Yeah.
You instantly made a best friend.
Yeah.
Monica confirmed idiot. She took her tray, dropped and detained.
Well,
I suppose.
One thing we've established in this show, it's that kids are dumb as hell.
Kim did make the first move with that friendship, though, to be fair.
By cartwheeling into her.
Kim made a new friend, not Monica.
Yeah, exactly.
Monica's got to play her cards close to the chest. She's from the big city. And sat down to poke at her macaroni. Hi there. Monica raised her head and was startled to see a short, chubby boy with red hair standing across a table from her. My name... I should just use my voice for this. My name's Jimmy Dolliver, he said. I'm new here. Me too, said Monica, suddenly feeling more relaxed. I'm Monica Case. Jimmy sat down with a friendly smile. I'm from California. How about you?
He's so Californian.
She got another idiot.
I just mean like chubby and red hair. Yeah, of course, California.
Oh, yeah,
the
California.
Land of like skinny blonde tall people.
Yeah.
Also, his name's Tolliver, so he should sound like Powers Booth.
Definitely.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, she's from Philly. Okay, that informs my life.
Oh, shit.
Oh, there we
this
go.
This is easy.
Yeah, we can do the Mid-Atlantic accent for this.
All right, I'm from back east, she said, Philadelphia. This is my first time in the West. Most of the West isn't like Phantom Valley, said Jimmy. At least not the part I'm from. Most of it's modern, like the rest of the country. What the fuck? With cities and freeways, not empty spaces and forests. Okay.
I mean, I know this is from, like, 1991. Yeah. Did people call the West the West?
I don't know. I would guess people in the West call the West the West.
But if you're from a place, you don't call it that place. It's not west of them.
I would guess that people in the West call the West the best.
Jesus fucking Christ. Does that answer your question?
No, it doesn't. We can move on.
You're welcome.
I also like that this has that, it's not just an early 90s, like, phobia thing, because it still exists for a lot of people, but, like, I felt like this was a big thing, like, when we were kids growing up, just that, like, fear of the city, like, big, big city living, like, I don't know, it just seemed so, like, alien and other.
I think that was a little bit about how you grew up.
Well, definitely how I grew up, but I feel like a lot of stuff, like movies and TV shows and books, mm-hmm. like also did that, like really exoticized, like
the big city.
Well, not exoticized. I was saying like I'm thinking more like vilified, specifically saying like, oh no, the country and the suburbs is where you want to be, like especially if you have a family. You know,
yeah, it's called white flight.
Yeah.
Well, here's what's really funny. Claire and I are in the city line, but we live like a stone's throw from where I bought groceries when I was a literal actual child. And it's that sort of thing where the city is like down Harford Road. Like if I would go five
Don't
more
dox
minutes.
Yourself.
Oh shit. cut that out. Okay.
No one listens to this.
No, but from that street, if you go 10 more minutes down,
yeah.
You're like the city. You're like in
yeah,
yeah, with corner stores called Tobacco and Candy,
and Hip
Hop
Chicken.
Two of them.
Tobacco and Candy. Okay, something about the rest of the country: cities and freeways, not empty spaces and forests. That's what I like about it here, said Monica. It's not modern, and I love the wide open spaces. It seems as if you can see for miles
through the fucking trees.
Sorry. It's so much better than sidewalks.
They begin to talk about the clean air. Jesus Christ, the clean air. When two
girls...
You know,
a conversation teenagers have.
Yeah. Ugh, it's spicy. they begin to talk about the clean air when two girls, twins, named Stacy and Tracy, asked
They're
to
the
join
ones
them.
From the mirror book.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
They told Monica and Jimmy about life in Phantom Valley, about hiking and horseback riding, the farm animals they cared for.
The phantoms.
The phantoms in the valley and their teachers and classes. By the time she'd finished eating, Monica felt as if she'd gone to Chilene for years.
Like at Hotel California.
Monica and her new friends went into the day room to continue talking. Finally, she made herself break away and said goodnight. She ran up the stairs to her room. The kids Monica had met at dinner lived in the other dorm wing and had roommates. Monica felt lucky to have a room to herself.
So she
has
masturbating. A room and a whole wing to herself? Is no one else in that wing?
It sounds like no one else is in that wing yet.
I mean, it's a haunted wing, so I have a feeling everyone else feels like they got the better deal.
Well, I think she's going to end up with a roommate, but the roommate's going to be a ghost.
It's going to be a doll.
It's going to be a ghost doll.
A gloom mate.
Jesus Christ. It sure beat sharing a tiny cubby hole with her baby sister as she did back home. Boy, her back home life sounds like a shithole.
I actually
I'm so
love
glad
Philly.
She didn't... I know, I love Philly. Boy, isn't it glad you didn't go to Italy?
Yeah.
This room was hers alone. Hers and Allegra's.
Oh my God.
At that thought, she felt a slight shiver.
Called it.
Don't go scaring yourself with made-up ghost stories, she told herself. Thank you.
That thing that you wanted to have.
Yeah. Suddenly exhausted from the long day, Monica crawled into bed. The light from the full moon poured in through the open window, making the room shimmer with a silvery glow. Outside, a lonesome howl sounded in the distance. A coyote, Monica thought, drifting off to sleep. Dreams,
as they say in the West.
Yeah. Dreams of covered wagons and cool pine forests.
Crackle.
At the sudden noise, Monica opened her eyes. She'd been dreaming, but couldn't remember what about.
The digital clock beside her bed showed 3 a.m. Monica punched up her pillow and turned over. After a moment, she felt sleep returning. Crackle, thump. It's just the house setting, she thought. Crackle. Or maybe a branch is blowing against the roof. Thump! She opened her eyes, now completely awake. Outside the window, she could see treetops illuminated in the bright moonlight. They were still. Not a breath of wind was blowing. Crackle, thump, thump! Monica's heart began to beat faster.
Snap, pop.
She sat up and listened carefully. The sound seemed to be coming from the small closet, obviously.
Called it.
Maybe it's an animal, she thought. A mouse or a squirrel could have gotten trapped in there. She stepped into her slippers and padded across the floor to the small closet door. Cautiously, she swung it open, half expecting to see a small animal come skittering out. Come on, little mouse, Monica called softly. Or whatever you are. Come on out, I won't hurt you. She is a dumbass. Silence. The noises had stopped. Monica became aware then of a soft red light shining from the back of the closet. Perplexed, she ducked down and stepped inside. Now she could see that the light was shining in through a narrow crack at the back of the closet. It was coming from behind the closet. What could it be?
Oh, no.
Curious, she reached back and felt around the crack.
RTD.
Crack. But all she could feel was the rough plaster wall. In spite of herself, Monica yawned. Whatever it was, she'd have to wait to check it out in the morning. She closed the closet door and scooted back to bed. She had almost fallen asleep again when the bumping and crackling started over. I'll worry about it tomorrow, she told herself, forcing
what?
Her eyes
How
closed.
How could you possibly?
Open the door!
I wish I could sleep that hard, oh my even God. If I didn't have a mysterious light in my closet.
No fucking way I wouldn't open that door immediately.
But the noises continued, fainter now, but just as persistent. Glancing at the closet again, she saw a faint red glow outlining the entire door. It was as if something were trapped inside, desperately trying to get out. Chapter 3.
Yeah, keep going.
Despite being awake much of the night, Monica awoke early the next morning. She opened her eyes and glanced at the digital clock, which was specified that it was digital on the previous reference, but this time was just called a clock. It was only 6 a.m.
Only?
Breakfast wouldn't start for another hour. She stayed in bed and let her eyes wander around the sunlit room, taking in every detail. Out her window, she could see a brilliant sky and could hear the wake-up calls of the birds. It was a perfect day to begin classes in her new school. Yeah, because being the new kid's fun as hell.
Who doesn't love it?
Chris
said. She loved school so much she didn't go to Italy.
That's awful.
Then she remembered the red glow from her closet and the strange noises she had heard the night before. Maybe, she thought, I only imagined them. Oh, sorry. Maybe, she thought, I only imagined them. There was only one way to find out. She padded over to the small closet and pulled the door open. Pushing her clothes aside, she ducked low and moved toward the back of the closet. Sure enough, she found herself in front of a narrow crack on the back wall. Kneeling in front of it, she studied it closer and noticed that the crack was perfectly straight, probably man-made, and that it wasn't one but four cracks that outlined an area about the size of a medicine chest. How would she know that?
A medicine chest?
What? In fact, the cracks seemed to form a... The fuck? The cracks seemed to form a door. How exciting, she thought.
Yeah.
Maybe it...
So instead of cracks, it's just the fucking edge of a door.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not cracks. It's lines.
Wow.
Yeah.
just
keep saying crack.
This door is about the size of a medicine chest.
This door has cracks all along the edge of it. That's how you talk about a door frame, right?
It's got straight cracks.
Every time I see a closed door, I'm like, man, look at those four straight cracks.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. Like, especially at 3 a.m. in the back of your closet,
yeah,
I can imagine, like, not comprehending that it's a door frame.
But it's 6 a.m.
But she didn't
now.
Look at it at 3 a.m. She's looking at it now in the cold, harsh light of day. What's Alfie doing?
He's in your Legos and
Alfie,
shit.
You bitch.
I mean, she's at this point determined that. Thank you, my love. So,
Hi, Claire.
Everyone said, hi, Claire.
Hi.
Claire making her debut.
It's the Claire
cameo. She's been on the show before. Yeah.
Well,
this podcast could use a little clarity.
Oh, shit.
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm going to start reading again, but really real quick. I think she's an idiot in every other way. I think that at 3 a.m.
Yeah, character, like, not your wife.
Like, exactly. Like, fixing around in the back of your...
I felt Jesus the need Christ. To clarify.
Now that the door...
Oh my
Jesus
God.
Christ. Now the door's closed, like, all right, now that Claire's gone.
Claire closed all four cracks in that door.
All four cracks.
Maybe it is a door. She read enough mysteries to know that old houses sometimes had secret compartments. She pushed and pried at the cracks, doors. But nothing budged. The door, if it was one, seemed to be painted shut. The painters probably hadn't even noticed it, so landlord special. Monica backed out of the closet and looked around for a fingernail file. When she found it, she went back into the closet and inserted it into part of the crack. It fit perfectly. Bits of the new paint chipped off as she ran the file all along the square outlined by the crack. Now, with
I'm
the
imagining
free,
it's like a comically large file, like you'd break out of prison with.
Yeah,
it's just it's like a full rasp.
Yeah, yeah,
just a full rasp.
Yeah.
Now with the crack free, it was even more obvious that this was a door. Monica.
She finally got there. She finally caught up.
Jesus Christ.
Pushed her hands against the door, and suddenly, with a hoarse creak, it swung slowly open.
On
Monica scooted back, half expecting a trapped squirrel or mouse to jump out at her.
Also, Horse Creek is the next town over.
I know.
Indeed.
Horse Creek sounds like a cute place.
Horse Creek? I want to go to Horse Creek.
Yeah, it's probably not haunted there.
Welcome. It's run by horses, actually.
Oh, is that the mayor?
Yeah, the horse. The mayor's a horse.
Well, no, it's always a female mayor, and they call her the mayor.
The mayor.
And when you ask the mayor how long she's been a mayor, she goes 4 years.
She hesitated with that last one.
Yeah, well, she's not that good at math.
Cobwebs hung along the edges, and a thick layer of dust lay on the floor. It looked as if no one had opened the door in years. Bringing her face even closer, she narrowed her eyes to study the darkness. At first, the small space appeared to be empty, but then she saw something wedged into the back. Something light, limp, and unmoving.
Yes.
Something with a tiny, round face. The face of a girl. It's a doll! She cried with delight.
Okay, delight. She's definitely not in high school.
Yeah.
This has to be middle school.
Yeah.
Excited, Monica reached into the cubbyhole and pulled out the doll. Before closing the little door, she felt around and searched the compartment for anything else. I mean, good on you for, like, making sure you didn't miss any loot. but there was nothing.
She's
but
a loot
dust.
Goblin.
Yeah, like, good, good being thorough, and also, like, balls of steel sticking your hand in there and, like, being, anything else?
Yeah,
anything else?
Come back with a flashlight or something.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll say.
Yeah.
Is I do regularly interact with the middle school, and, like...
Just,
Very brave.
Just unearned courage.
Yeah.
They are stupid.
The unearned courage of those who don't understand how bad things can be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Someone who...
Oh, that's called innocence.
Thrust their hand into a dark...
Shit.
Closet within a closet after they find a haunted doll clearly hasn't had bad things happen to them.
Yeah, you've never like accidentally touched a mouse skeleton.
or like the burner before it's cooled.
Yeah.
Back in her room, Monica gently brushed cobwebs and dust from the doll as she examined it closely. The doll had a soft cloth body and a round white china face, delicately painted with rosy cheeks and lips. Long black eyelashes extended out over wide blue eyes, and the doll's long taffy-colored hair fell in corkscrew curls over a ruffled pink dress.
What is taffy-colored hair? Taffy to me
taffy
is like
taffy comes
pink.
In all colors.
Yeah.
Insert like color you prefer here.
Does anyone remember what the doll looked like on the cover? I think
it's
blonde.
Right here.
It was a strawberry blonde on the cover.
Oh, yeah, you know, taffy. I don't know about that, but I think I did a very good job reading that sentence for how bad I read sometimes.
I'm very proud of you.
Thanks, Chris. Around its neck, the doll wore a gold-colored chain strung with letters that spelled "All Your Wishes." Whatever that means. This doll
is this
must
like
a be
monkey's a monkey's paw situation.
Ooh, I hope so. This doll must be at least 100 years old, Monica said out loud. She knew she should tell Mrs. Danita about it, but then decided not to.
Monica confirmed idiot decided not to.
I don't know. I'm on her side with that. No.
Why? It's not like she found a cigarette in there or a gun.
Yeah, but also, like, you don't need to tell. A secret or a gun? That jumped so far. A cigarette or a loaded gun?
It was a bundle of TNT.
I mean, it's America. One of these really, things is more common than the other.
This really is an Old West school. after all, she had found it in her room that she owned legally. The antique bed and chair belonged to the room, so... And so must the doll. Okay. Monica, I love that kid logic. Monica couldn't take her eyes off the doll's beautiful face. She laid it on its back and watched the eyes close. Oh, it's one of those dolls. Then she watched them open again as she sat the doll back up. The blue eyes seemed to stare at her. The sudden sound of a bell made her jump. Knowing she had to hurry, she put the doll on top of her bureau, dressed quickly, and ran down to the dining hall. Most of the kids were already eating. Monica grabbed a glass of orange juice and a bowl of oatmeal. She noticed Jimmy sitting alone and went to join him. Let's see your class list, Jimmy said, finishing up.
I thought he was going to sound like Powers Booth.
Oh, right. I forgot. His name's Tolliver.
How do you even do that voice?
I did Powers Booth for when we did Sketchy Show. Hang on a second. Our cat's being terrible. Alvy! Stop it. Don't look at me like that.
Your touchstone word was always hooers.
Hooers. It really is, yeah. Jesus Christ, our cat is so badly behaved.
I didn't know who Powers Booth was, and I just looked it up. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that guy. Do you know him now? Do you recognize from him Deadwood. From anything?
From Tombstone?
I suppose.
He's a terrifying man.
He was in Tombstone, Alfie. Sin City.
And you're going to give this to the Jewish Ginge?
Yes.
Well, his name's Tolliver, which was his character's name on Deadwood.
Let's see your class list.
Jimmy said, finishing up an egg yolk soaked piece of toast. That feels like a thing Powers Booth would do.
Yeah. Jonathan, like, I'm not going to try to do that.
Shove toast in an egg yolk and be like...
That sounds delicious, actually.
I mean, that's the correct way to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of runny yolks, but that's just me. Monica handed him her schedule, which was printed on blue paper, and began to eat.
English, math, history.
Jimmy read out loud.
It sounds like a tough morning schedule. I've got my hard classes in the afternoon.
What are the easy classes? Those are just classes.
Oh, mech.
Okay.
I have a passion for baking.
I like to get the hard stuff over with first, said Monica. Then I can relax in the afternoon with art, Spanish, and gymnastics, my favorite. Do they really have that much flexibility to pick their schedules? It's not like they're at a fucking state university.
This is what I want to know.
It's a boarding school.
I feel like there's like 13 children in this whole school.
I'm going to look at them again on the cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look like, I don't know, like you could probably 13? Google it.
I hear the teachers are really tough here, he went on. My roommate told me they give lots of homework. I don't mind, said Monica. I just love it here. But by her third period history class, Monica was beginning to wonder if Jimmy had been right. Even though it was only the first day, the teachers were already loading up on the homework. Oh, no. I made it small.
Okay. Do you think history class is at the school is just the history of Phantom Valley?
Where was I? I got lost. How would she be able to keep up with it all? I mean, I don't know. I mean,
she has no commute time.
Pretty much, you get homework for every class, no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, frankly, what the fuck else is going on in Phantom Valley aside from hauntings and homework?
Yeah, hauntings and homework. That's what the series should be called.
Hauntings and homework. Oh my god, that's such a good name for a series of books.
Yeah.
Let's write it.
go ahead, sorry. Separate notion that I will discuss outside of chat.
Okay. After art, she dropped her books off in her room and pulled out her gym bag. Gymnastics, she thought, would be different from her other classes. After all, she'd been the best gymnast at her old school. I bet it's going to go great for her.
Well, like, obviously she's done gymnastics, but I just love the idea of,
like... I was a big fish in a little pond. It's going to stay that way forever, right?
Yeah. And I love the idea of, like, what's easier than fucking gymnastics?
Yeah. She worked hard at it, but not because she had to. Gymnastics came easily to her. Then she had an unsettling thought. Maybe she wouldn't be the star here. Maybe she wouldn't even make the team. After all, Chilene was much tougher academically. Maybe the competition in sports would be just as tough.
Was it? It's in the middle of nowhere.
It's a really good school, according to her aunt. By the time she got to the gym, Monica was more nervous than she'd been since the first time she tried the uneven parallel bars. We all remember how nervous we were our first time.
Oh, terrified.
It was only when she saw Kim.
I'm way better at the even parallel bars.
Well, that's just cheating. It was only when she saw Kim.
Oh, yours are uneven?
From across the gym that she cheered up. Monica crossed the gym and sat beside her on the bleachers. Good afternoon, girls, said a short woman with curly brown hair. I'm Ms. Potter, and I'll be coaching gymnastics. Several of the girls cheered.
Hooray!
I'll start out with testing you on the basics, Ms. Potter went on. I want to see what each of you can do. Monica felt comfortable as she demonstrated her leaps, midair splits, and tumbling finishes. She knew she did well. Her flips were straight and head-on with perfect landings. Very good, Monica, Miss Potter said from where she sat. Now, let's see your vault off the horse. Sure, said Monica, wondering if she could do a vault as well as the other Chilean students. The horse was the one piece of equipment she'd never quite gotten down. She took a deep breath, raised her hands, and stared at the horse. Finally, lowering her arms, she ran for the beat board and pushed off.
I wasn't listening for a minute, and I was like, what fucking horse?
Okay, so that, I was just going to say, like, dumb question. Are they talking about a pommel horse?
It's got to be.
Yeah.
I just love that they're like, you know, the horse.
The old horse.
Well, actually, no, this is, you might not know this, but, like, every school, like, between the Rockies and the Mississippi has a live horse in the gym.
And you just do handstands on it.
And you do handstands off it, and it's just a horse. It's just the gym horse.
I feel like you need to make me a co-host so I can like find the images and put them in chat, because I have a second monitor and I have everything else happening. Anything weird that happens, it's up in the other window.
You're our guy in the chair. It's fine.
The horse was the one piece of equipment she'd never quite gotten down. She took a deep breath, raised her hands, and stared at the horse. Finally, lowering her arm, she ran for the beat
just
board and pushed off.
I can't stop picturing it.
She's like running at it, and it's like,
it's the horse from the horse town. What was it called?
Oh, Horse Creek.
Horse Creek.
Yeah.
I stopped at the same exact spot I stopped at before.
I can't get past this horse thing.
They call it the mare.
That's my peak joke of this whole episode. Finally, lowering her arms, she ran for the beat board and pushed off and fell off the horse, sprawling not too gracefully on the mat.
Well, we all know what you do when that happens.
You get back on the horse.
Get back on the horse.
Nice try, said Miss Potter crisply. But you have a good takeoff, but we'll have to work on your dismount. Bridget Morgan, you're next. Feeling embarrassed, Monica picked herself up and rejoined Kim. Before Monica could complain about her vault, Kim said, "Watch this," pointing to the center of the gym. When she saw where Kim was pointing, Monica recognized the popular dark-haired girl who'd been in the cafeteria the night before. "Who is she?" Monica whispered. "Her name's Bridget Morgan," said Kim. "I just call her More, because she's got more of everything."
Damn!
What do you mean?
So
more
dumb.
Money, more friends, more talent, more everything than anyone else at Chalene. She's the star of the gymnastics team. Some people say she's good enough for Allstate. Monica's heart sank.
She got boobs 2 years before all of us.
Though it was only the one.
What? She got a single boob.
Fucker. They watched while Bridget perfectly and effortlessly performed the same moves that Monica had just done. No. She paused a moment before beginning the vault and stared directly at Monica, her expression seeming to say, "This is how it's done." Then she ran, leaped over the horse, and landed in a perfect dismount.
The horse applauded.
"Wow," said Monica, her dreams of being the gymnastic star disappearing. "Bridget's just wonderful," said Kim. "But you're as good as she is, in some of the things. I saw her watching you on the parallel bars, and she didn't look happy. You did better than I've seen her do." "Thanks for saying so," said Monica. Fuck, I did it again. God, I'm trying to conjure Philly.
It's just the Baltimore.
It's just
accent.
Baltimore, yeah. It's just Baltimore.
"Thanks for saying so," said Monica. Another girl began her routine as Bridget walked over to the bleachers to join some girls sitting up a few rows from Monica and Kim. "So," said Kim, "how was your first night in the haunted room?" "No ghosts," said Monica, laughing. "But I found the strangest thing." She told Kim about the doll and how she found it. "You mean it was hidden in that spooky old closet since Allegra Chalene lived in that room?"
Zyrtec.
Zyrtec Chalene.
Zyrtec
Claritin.
That sounds like a sketchy show character. Zyrtec Claritin.
"Could have been for all I know," said Monica. "There was so much dust in that compartment. Couldn't have been opened in years." "Wow," said Kim. "Are you going to tell Miss Danita about it? It probably belongs to the school.
Why would a doll belong to the school?
Right?
I don't know. I thought about telling her. I'm an idiot. But that would mean giving up the doll.
Why would it?
Maybe I'll tell her at the end of the semester.
You know what you need. Miss Danita would probably be like, cool doll. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, here's
the thing.
Enjoy
your doll.
Oh, no adult would grown out of fucking it by care now. At all.
Yeah.
You know what you need after fishing through a dusty closet for a haunted doll? Allegra.
Jesus Christ.
You do? Yeah, actually, though. Yeah, if it was a cigarette or a gun, yeah, tell
someone.
Oh,
my God. I can't wait till I get lines from Miss Danita, because I do interact with a private school, like, girl's private school mistress.
Oh, boy.
Like, I have experience in this character.
You're like,
this
I got a voice down for this.
I do. And I can guarantee she would give no shits about a doll.
Yeah, I'm sure she would. She'd kick it.
Or she'd be like, maybe we should check it for lice or something.
Yeah, she'd be like,
shake it out, see if there's spiders on it.
You probably shouldn't have touched it.
Yeah.
Go to the doctor.
She would be onto the, she would be like, cool story. I'm going to go on to the next person I'm going to try to get funding out of.
Yeah. Or like, hey, are you bleeding? Then yeah. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Come back to me when you're bleeding.
Yeah.
Just make sure she doesn't see it, said Kim. I wonder how it got into that secret compartment. I haven't got a clue, but I'm glad it was there. You'll have to come look at it. I'd love to, Monica. In fact, how about right after practice? You're going to play with... you're going to play with dolls after practice, said a mocking voice behind them. How cute!
Both girls spun around to see Bridget sitting on the bleacher right behind them.
Bridget, said Kim, how long have you been there? Long enough, said Bridget. Long enough to hear all about her haunted room and the mysterious doll.
Well, you're doing what's his face?
Yeah, I know. The last book.
Who?
Sounded like you were doing what's his face from Red Dead 2. Handlebar mustache. The dickhead.
Specify.
Handlebar mustache dickhead that betrayed them all.
Dutch?
Oh, Micah?
No, that Micah? Yeah, Micah.
Oh. Oh, yeah, kinda. Guys, I've been playing a lot of Red Dead. Red Dead 2
you
and Red Dead 1.
You should have been the one
to
remember it, not Becca.
I didn't think he had a handlebar mustache. That's what threw me off. And also, he sounded like a real dirtbag.
Yeah. I don't know what I was doing with my voice.
I don't know
what
you were doing.
It changed
either.
A couple of times while I was talking.
You put a few extra syllables in the word doll.
Dowel.
A dowel is something you use to join two pieces of wood.
Well, if
he
you're
totally
interested,
has a handlebar mustache.
I could be wrong.
Well, if you're interested, I'd be happy to tell you all about it, said Monica, stung and embarrassed. You don't have to eavesdrop. For a moment, Bridget had no reaction. She was so surprised by Monica's statement.
That's actually a pretty good comeback.
Yeah, that is. That's, yeah. That's how you deal with people
surprisingly
like that.
Surprisingly sharp for Monica.
Yeah. The idiot.
Yeah.
Well, Monica. Philly. This chapter is entitled, Monica Suddenly Has a Moment of Brilliance.
Yeah.
Finally, the corners of her mouth turned up and she smiled nastily. But when she opened her mouth to speak, Kim cut her off.
Bridget! This is Monica Case. She's a new... I know who she is, said Bridget, her voice cold and mocking. I can't believe you really buy that stuff about the room being haunted. Haunted, she said directly to Monica. And getting all excited over a doll. How can you be such a baby?
Monica just stared at Bridget. I hope Bridget's in this 1,000%, because this is the only voice that I want to do. Monica just stared at Bridget. What in the world did Bridget have against her? The bitch!
Sometime later, she's probably just jealous because you're so good in gymnastics, Kim was saying.
I don't think it's that, Kim.
No, I think she's
That's
a bitch.
That's just a little cruel.
The girls were in Monica's room.
Oh. Kim was examining the doll, turning it over in her hands as they talked.
The doll.
But she's better than I am, Monica protested. It's not like I'm a major threat to her or anything. You're the closest thing to a threat she has, said Kim. And who knows, with more practice you could probably be as good as she is. Didn't she fall on her ass?
Yeah, but only off the horse.
Okay.
Only off the horse, Becca.
She just has to get back on the horse. Thank you, Jordan.
This doll is really great, she said. Don't worry about Bridget. She's basically a snobby jerk. She thinks because she has so much money, she's better than everyone else. Well, thanks, said Monica, following her new friend to the door. I just hope she doesn't say anything about the doll. See you tomorrow, said Kim. Monica waved, said goodbye, and closed the door. Then she sat at her desk and opened her history book. She tried to study, but she couldn't get her mind off Bridget and her nasty remarks. Kim thinks I'm nearly as good as Bridget, she thought. And maybe I am. And maybe that's why Bridget was so nasty to me. I know I need more practice, but what if I could show her up eventually? She closed her eyes and imagined herself doing a series of perfect flips and perfect vaults. Then she imagined the disappointed and angry look on Bridget's face when she realized Monica was better than she was. Feeling better. She opened her eyes.
100%? No, I feel like she... The author, this feels very genuine.
Yeah.
It's like, I've had this moment of
specific.
Like...
Yeah.
Like I've had this moment of like, I'll prove everyone wrong.
The author
had like revenge
me
meditation.
Yeah. The author had a nemesis when she was a kid named Bridget. She was like, I'm not even gonna change the fucking name.
Feeling better, she opened her eyes. At a soft sound, she turned toward the bureau. The doll was sitting where Kim had left it. Its white eyes stared down at Monica, but they were no longer china blue. Instead, they were red! The same glowing red color she had seen coming from the closet the night before.
Yes.
We doing another one?
Yeah.
Chapter 4. Monica yawned and closed her history book long past lights out. She was exhausted and thought she'd sleep like a rock. It was 2 weeks into the semester, and she still wasn't used to all the work. Between gymnastics practice and schoolwork, she had almost no free time and had to work late into the night to catch up. She crawled into bed and closed her eyes, but sleep didn't come. Her mind was racing, and she felt wide awake and restless. There were too many things to think about. In only 2 weeks at Chilean, she had met so many new people and learned so much. She and Kim had both made the gymnastics team, and practice was the high point of every day for them. Almost everyone she met was friendly. Everyone but Bridget. Mm-hmm. Why is she so hostile? Monica wondered for the 100th time. Bridget was nearly perfect in gymnastics, the best on the team, but she saw Monica as a threat. She never missed an opportunity to say something sarcastic about Monica or the doll.
Monica glanced at the bureau. In the dark, she could just make out the outline of the doll. She sat leaning against the wall. Remembering how its eyes seemed to glow red on the first day made a shiver run up the back of her neck. Don't be ridiculous, she told herself. You just imagined the eyes were red. Besides, the doll can't see anything. It's just a doll. But once Monica had the idea in her mind, she couldn't get rid of it. She felt the doll was staring directly at her, as if it expected something from her. Taking a deep breath, Monica rolled onto her back, closed her eyes, and tried to do some relaxing exercises. Was the doll still staring? Were its eyes glowing red again? Her eyes snapped open, and she sat straight up in bed. I'll never get to sleep, she said aloud. She threw off the covers and padded over to the bureau and turned the doll around. Stare at the wall, she told it. I'm going to sleep. She climbed back into bed and fluffed up her pillow. Finally,
I did get really creeped out when I was little, and I felt like the stuffed animals were looking at me, and I turned them away slightly.
Oh my god.
Let me tell you one thing, because when I was a kid, the child's play movies were like
same
in full swing, right?
And I had a friend that had a My Buddy doll. And I was dude, if I'm coming over, you need to put that shit in the closet. God.
We had one. My mother bought us one, and we were in.
Did your mother also show you the Child's Play movies?
She did not.
but you were aware.
And thought like, oh, this will be hilarious.
I don't think she did that. She had enough going on. But then it's that sort of thing where my bed was farther from the door and my brother's bed was between here and there. And then there was a bookcase in between both of them. And so is that sort of like the My Buddy doll was on top. And so I literally trampled my brother jumping from my space onto his bed and out the door, as opposed to be in the space where the My Buddy doll could ambush me.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Like, it was West Coast Video in the shopping center. And, like, literally, I saw the Child's Play video, like, back in the day when there were video stores and they'd have all the movies out.
Yeah.
We're all old. We're familiar.
Yeah.
And it's like, there was, like, the adventure movies and the romance movies and the whatever. And then there was the horror movies, and it was there. And it was between the checkout and everything else, and it was like the horror movies are right there. And I remember one time as a child, I had such a freak out that the girl working behind the counter was like, no, it's okay. I saw you freak out. I will turn this around so you can walk to the front of the store.
Oh my God.
It was
that was nice of her.
Tiny dolls, man. Was ridiculous Chucky, dolls.
Was Chucky based off of My Buddy or vice versa?
I don't think they had a direct connection, but I think it was the same. I think it was that sort of, it was in the, like, that flavor of doll was in the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
And someone was like, this is in the zeitgeist. Let's put a murderer's soul into it.
I never had a My Buddy. I never. Okay. Yeah. The only thing I can think of that scared me similarly was just the clown doll and Poltergeist.
Yeah.
But I never had a clown doll like that. But like that scene always freaked me out. Mm-hmm. But I never had.
Well, I know I'm sure I've mentioned this on the podcast before. I've definitely at least told you, but my mom had a little stuffed animal gremlin.
Oh yeah, Gizmo.
She had a little Gizmo stuffed animal, and I thought it was so scary, but I'd never even seen the movie.
Yep.
But if I was like in her bed and she was reading to me, I'd throw him off the bed because I thought he was scary. And then later I found out that that's not even the scary version the scary of gremlin. The gremlin. Yeah. That was like the nice version of the gremlin.
That's one of my favorite stories
but I
ever.
I thought he was so scary.
That's the only nice gremlin. Like, Gizmo's literally the only one who's not evil.
Your mom really liked that movie?
Hold on. Thinking about it now, I'm like, what? When did my mom watch fucking Gremlins? I never watched Gremlins.
I've asked that since the moment you told me that story. I was like, why did your mom? And I know the answer. Your mom's never seen Gremlins.
There's no way my mom would watch Gremlins.
No, she's never seen Gremlins. She thinks Gizmo's cute. She has no idea who the fuck Gizmo is at all.
That sounds very right.
Yeah.
And like, in retrospect, he is cute. I get it.
Yeah.
But yeah. I cannot picture her watching Gremlins.
No.
Yeah, as a tiny little boy, like, Friday the 13th, I'd watch it, be fine. Freddy movies, would watch them, be fine. The only two things that scared me as a child was the Child's Play movies, Fire in the Sky, three things, Fire in the Sky.
That fucked me up, too.
Which, like, no child should ever have to watch at a time when X-Files is on every week.
No.
And, a T-Rex outside my window.
Oh yeah.
Play as still as possible. Its vision is based on movement.
Oh,
you,
I was also
you were
kind of
traumatized by Jurassic Park, right? T-Rexes.
Not like traumatized, but I was definitely like I remember being in elementary school and thinking like, what if a T-Rex like steps on the building right now? Like it probably won't, but what if it does?
Yeah.
Like Claire had that fear. I did not. I was very much like a pro. Like you know, dinosaurs are amazing. We should all dinosaurs. Be working towards dinosaurs.
I was.
You're gonna fucking invent Jurassic Park.
I was totally on board too. Went. I was just like, they're gonna do it any day now, Amber. They're gonna do it with the Amber. We're gonna have dinosaurs by the year 2000.
I have friends across the street that are like, yeah, no, you know, like last week, like in D.C., they had like triceratopses walking down the street.
Oh, as a kid.
Like, really?
I was like, oh, no, Chris, your new neighbors.
I was like, oh, you made new friends already?
Oh, no, that's terrible. They're conspiracy theorists.
No, this is when I was a child.
It's so funny because I was just going to say, like, I'm psycho and like none of these things like scared me. because I just love horror movies. But then I remembered, I might have been on the podcast also, but there is a certain moment where I had like a weird breakthrough talking about the only kind of, like the only movie that scared me. There were a couple of things, and I can't remember what one of them was, but there's this movie.
An Event Horizon.
Oh, I saw Event Horizon in the theater with my mom when I was like 12, and she got a lot of flack.
Oh no, we talked about that.
Yeah, her coworkers were like, "You did what?" But one of the only things that scared me as a kid was this really bad movie, and I haven't seen it since I was a kid, so I assume it's not a good movie. I think it's called The Farm. I think it had a couple different names, but it's starring Will Wheaton as a kid. And it scared the shit out of me. And then, like, when I was describing why it scared me, it was because, like, it's this kid on a farm, and I think there's, like, an asteroid that comes down, and it, like, infects his, like, whole family, and they all go, like, kind of crazy and try and kill him. And then there was something else that, like, scared me, and I realized the through line.
Is it called Curse?
It might have been called The Curse. The Curse or The Farm.
Interesting.
The through line with the stuff that I saw as a kid that scared me was... your family trying to kill you, which like feels like a thing that I should tell a therapist.
Yes.
Other thing that we know as a kid.
Well, I grew up watching The Shining and being like, my dad.
I didn't see The Shining until I was an adult.
The Shining will make you afraid of your dad, for
but,
sure.
Like, if I saw The Shining when I was a kid, I think you could probably add that to the list of movies that actually scared me, because it would have probably fucked me up.
Yeah.
Approximately what year was that, John?
Oh boy.
Approximately.
Let's go with 1991 or two.
I can tell you exactly what it was because I just looked it up.
Yeah.
It's 87.
87.
Wait, the Curse? Yeah, 87.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have watched it in 87. I would have watched it in probably like 90, 91 maybe. I was very young.
Ah, yeah, you're right.
And it's not like a...
Well done.
I don't think it's like a R-rated. It's not like that
the
bad.
The pictures from it look really disgusting.
But I mean, to a kid...
But yeah, also like a PG horror movie.
It's like,
in
why
the
would they show this on
basically
television?
An R-rated movie now.
Oh, shit. Okay. Here's a fun thing. Not like a fun thing, but like a sort of. It's
fun for now.
It's because as soon as you said that, like that sounds like the.
We'll get back to the book eventually.
Yeah, the color or something, the color outside of time, right?
The color out of space.
Color out of space.
Yeah.
Because according to the writers on The Curse, the movie, it was the one of the writers credited as H.P. Lovecraft. So obviously.
Oh,
they,
it was adapted from H.P. Lovecraft shit? Yeah. It's gross.
And they also did the same thing again recently with, I think, Kevin Bacon.
The Color Out of Space?
Yeah.
Nick Cage. I haven't seen it, but they did. Yeah, they made a movie called
The
Color.
This would definitely traumatize me if I saw it.
Yeah, they're all like pussy and like boiled. Boiled.
I mean, it's based on H.P.
Boiled.
Lovecraft.
By boiled, I mean
covered
in boils.
They're boiled.
They're beboiled.
It's Lovecraft. Pus is obligatory.
Yeah.
And one last thing that wigged me out as a kid was the TV adaptation of The Tommyknockers.
Really?
Oh,
sorry. Sorry to go so high.
A very dumb kid.
I don't know what any
also,
of you are
you're
talking
older than
about.
I remember
when I was a kid being freaked out by the Langoliers.
Really?
Oh, yeah, the Langoliers.
I'm going even higher register.
I feel like
okay,
I'm having a stroke.
We cannot get into this.
I just remember thinking, why
is
Malky
so upset? I feel
like
you're all making
up
silly words.
Those are both Stephen King books.
No, that's
Malky from Perfect Strangers.
Terrible,
so mad.
Terrible adaptations.
It was a producer, like Sci-Fi Channel TV movie of the Langoliers, where it was... The old, a bunch of people are on a plane and things
it's the
get
Lemmings
weird,
thing, right?
And, yeah.
It also didn't help that every time we drove by power lines, my dad would go, "The Langoliers."
Jesus fucking Christ. Okay, let's get back to the book. I'm one for tangents, but once we start talking about Langoliers and Tommyknockers, we gotta get the fuck back to this.
I think that was a good one.
That was a really good one.
I feel like this is
fully
a
100% pulling a clip out of that.
I don't even
I
know
like,
who was reading.
I feel like Jordan. I feel like this as a tangent should be cut out, and then we should get together and examine it together to find out what we need to talk about in therapy.
Jordan, I barely ever cut anything out of this thing. I only cut shit out when we say something we're like, whoops, shouldn't have said that one on the microphone.
Yeah. That was too revealing.
That was too revealing, or, oh, that person is still alive and might listen to this.
Yeah. like me doxing myself.
Yeah, like Jordan doxing himself.
Like Jordan doxing himself. We didn't say exactly where you live. Anyway.
I mean, close enough. Anyway. Stare at the wall, she told it. I'm going to sleep. She climbed back into bed and fluffed her pillow. Finally, she did begin to relax, but was on the edge of deep sleep when a sudden noise, no more than a rustling, made her open her eyes again. Nothing seemed different. Monica was about to dismiss the noise when she glanced at the bureau. She couldn't believe what she saw. Standing to the side of the bureau was a shimmering profile of a young girl dressed in a long dress and high-topped leather boots. Allegra. She had a dainty, pretty face, marred only by a heart-shaped birthmark on her right cheek. Her brown hair was gathered up in a loose knot, and she was standing on tiptoe, staring up at the doll. She had an intense expression on her almost transparent face.
Monica realized then that she could see the bureau and the doll through the girl! Her heart began to pound in her chest. She blinked, hoping that maybe the moonlight was playing tricks on her. You know how the moon sometimes make you see transparent girls?
That moon's a tricky bitch.
If these episodes had names, the name of this episode would be That Moon's a Tricky Bitch. But when she opened her eyes, the girl was still there, reaching for the doll, longingly. I'm dreaming, Monica tried to tell herself, but she knew she was wide awake. Awake and in the presence of a ghost! The ghost girl turned slowly from the doll and stared directly at Monica. Her dark eyes seemed to burn right through Monica's skin. Who are you? Monica demanded in a voice she wished were stronger. What are you doing in my room? The ghost girl didn't answer or change expression. She just moved closer to Monica, beckoning to her with her hand. Monica froze. What do you want? She asked, her voice shaking. She studied her room, hoping to find a place to escape or hide.
Oh, sorry. I looked this up the last time someone did the Mid-Atlantic accent, and I already forgot again. But I had texted you before the worst word to say in a Baltimore accent, because I heard someone say it in a training at work, is flowchart.
Flowchart?
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 Flowchart? Oh, God. Flowchart?
Good.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's good. she studied her room, hoping to find a place to escape or hide, but the only thing she could think of was going out the door, and that would mean having to pass the ghost. The ghost girl beckoned
again. Like Jordan and the Chucky doll.
Like Jordan and the Chucky doll. It all adds up. But this time, began to back away from the dresser. Monica breathed a sigh of relief as the girl floated toward the doorway, but then she stopped and again beckoned to Monica. You want me to follow yous? Monica guessed as the ghost moved toward the small closet. In answer, the ghost girl beckoned yet again. Her outline wavered and disappeared for a moment, then it reappeared brighter than ever.
Very slowly, Monica sat up. She'd never been so frightened in her life, but she'd never been so curious either. If she didn't follow the ghost, she wouldn't know what the girl would do next. What did the beautiful ghost girl want, she wondered. I stopped being able to read. The door to the hall silently swung open, and the girl disappeared into the hall. She obviously wanted Monica to follow. Wait for me, Monica called, quickly slipping out of bed. She hurried toward the doorway and decided to follow the ghost, wherever she was leading.
Oh my god. Let's do one more. Is that too much?
No, we can do one more.
I do know Jordan was wondering about when he could start dinner.
Oh, you haven't had dinner?
We had a very late lunch. Oh, I will show you the lunch. It was very delicious.
Show you the lunch.
I'll prove it to you.
No, just for planning for drinks and beverages.
Are you good with one more chapter, or should we edit now? Yeah. It's totally up to you.
Well, no bits.
No bits.
No tangents. Chapter 5.
I can promise nothing.
Excited, no tangents.
Excited and terrified.
What the fuck is this?
Monica, this is a very serious podcast. Monica followed the fucking ghost to the landing at the top of the stairs. She could see the girl's feet moving, but the movements were so smooth, she seemed to be gliding rather than walking, which is hilarious. So think about a ghost floating, but their feet are like... for no reason.
You're a ghost, you're doing that, you're like, oh, God, this is weird.
No, like when you hold a puppy above the water and their paws they're are just, doing that just even though they're not touching.
Or just a marionette.
No bits, no bits.
Just a bit marionette.
They went slowly down the stairs and through the downstairs hall to the day room. From time to time, the ghost's outline would fade and Monica would wonder if she was imagining the whole thing and would wake up in bed soon. I'm crazy, Monica thought. This can't really be happening. By now, the ghost had reached the front door of the academy. The door swung open on its own, letting in a blast of chilly night air and making the invitation to follow all the more obvious. The ghost girl beckoned to Monica and then drifted out through the passageway and into the night. Where is she taking me? Monica wondered. What does she want? The girl led her across the broad wooden porch to the damp grassy lawn and then through an empty field towards the woods. Above them, the half moon shone icy bright. And all around the trees sighed and moaned in the wind.
At the edge of the pine forest, the ghost girl stopped. Monica wondered if the dark, forbidding woods were as threatening to the ghost as they were to her. But then the girl continued forward into the forest and signaled to Monica to follow with greater urgency than before. At the same time, how many at the same time is it going to be? Monica thought she felt a gentle push at her back, as if a breeze were urging her forward.
A lot.
And she knew that no matter how much she resisted, she couldn't stop herself from walking straight into the woods. The moonlight filtered in through the trees, throwing soft, liquid shadows across Monica's path. The ghost girl was moving faster now, and Monica had to hurry to keep up. It was hard to avoid tripping on the exposed tree roots and underbrush. The pine needles were springy and prickly under her feet. Somewhere overhead, an owl hooted mournfully.
Hoo, 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 hoo.
Perfect.
Thank you.
All of a sudden, an icy chill ran through Monica's body. The ghost girl had disappeared. Monica tore ahead, checking in all directions, desperately hoping to see the pale outline of the girl, but she was nowhere in sight. Monica looked around and found herself in a clearing bathed in silvery light. The moon glinted on large, irregular-shaped objects. Monica peered at the closest one and realized with a shudder that it was a gravestone. Chiseled into its face was a single word, Chilene. Monica shivered as she realized she was in the Chilene family cemetery in the middle of the night. Was this where the ghost had meant to take her? But why?
Why would a ghost want to go there?
Was she the spirit of one of the dead Chilenes? Was she trying to tell this to Monica or Phoebe or Rachel?
Monica searched for the girl with her eyes, wanting desperately to ask her. But the ghost seemed to have disappeared. Okay, real quick. Miss Danita, where are we going with her?
Wherever you want, man.
Yeah, we haven't really
you take
decided.
Her, you take her and we'll follow.
Monica!
Oh my God.
At the sound of her name, Monica jumped. She whirled around and came face to face with Miss Danita. Monica Case, Miss Danita said in a perplexed voice. She was wearing a coat over her nightgown and was holding a flashlight. What are you doing out here? Lights out was hours ago. Monica started to say, then stopped. Yet, was she doing out here? I was following a girl, she said, pointing across the clearing, almost hoping the ghost girl would reappear. What girl? Said Miss Danita. I saw Monica trailed off, feeling foolish. I found the front door standing wide open, Miss Danita said, slipping her coat over Monica's quivering shoulders. It's so dark out here, you're lucky I found you. I'm sorry, Monica said, not knowing how to explain her situation. Do you want to talk about it? The woman asked gently. We can have some hot chocolate in my office.
That's so much nicer than any teacher actually.
I know.
Would
I was like, oh,
catching a boarding school student in a graveyard.
No, I think we should jettison that accent. I don't
know. No, I love it.
No.
She's reacting real, like, Dumbledore-y.
Yeah.
Is there anything like Dumbledore-y? I'm not sure. Indeed.
Can we just do Dumbledore for her accent?
Yes, yeah. But screaming Dumbledore.
Yeah.
I just had a strange dream. I understand. Miss Danita said, "You're in a new place. There's all the excitement of beginning the school here. No wonder you're having bad dreams." "It wasn't bad, exactly." Monica stops, not sure what else to say.
They walk the rest of the way in silence. Damn it.
Jonathan, turn off.
God damn it. As soon as they entered the academy, Mrs. Danita locked the door. "Are you going to be all right?" she asked, giving Monica a quick hug. "Oh, Jesus. I'm fine. I'm just sleepy." "Then run on back to bed, Monica. Bundle up and get a good night's sleep. Everything will be okay in the morning."
"Hot chocolate."
"Hot
chocolate's off the table."
"This is a problem."
"All right, Mrs. Danita."
80 points to Philly.
80 points to Philly. "Oh, and thanks for finding me." Monica made her way through the hall and then up the stairs, feeling warm gratitude towards Mrs. Danita. She also felt very puzzled. What had really happened? Had she really seen a ghost? The old-fashioned girl had seemed so real, not like someone in a dream. But real girls can't fade in and out as that girl had.
Oh, they don't know my exes.
Oh!
Jokes and jokes and jokes.
Note for Jonathan, put a rim shot in here.
I don't know what's funnier, if you actually put a rim shot in or if you just leave you saying note for Jonathan.
We'll see what happens. We'll see how reliable
we'll
I am.
We'll see if you accidentally listen to that note you left yourself.
Oh, man. Of course it wasn't a ghost, she tried to tell herself. There are no such things as ghosts. Maybe, she decided. My imagination is just working overtime. Feeling very tired, Monica entered her room and picked up a pair of wool socks beside her bed to pull on her icy feet. She was just slipping into bed when a faint stirring caught her attention. Her eyes went right to the top of the bureau in the doll, its blue glass eyes staring down at her. Now, Monica's heart began to pound, as it had when she had first seen the ghost girl. No, she thought, it can't be. She stared at the doll, not wanting to believe what she saw, but there was no doubt about it. The doll was no longer facing the wall as she had placed it earlier. Now it was facing her! Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba! That was so much shorter than I thought it was going to be, but that's fine.
Yeah,
Jordan
the chapters
needs to make
have been pretty short. And you know what else I noticed? The book is like auto-renewing itself now.
Guess.
I saw at the top that it was like it'll auto-renew as long as you keep reading it or whatever.
No longer scrolling the days where we have to interrupt our podcast to
re-borrow
a book.
Yeah, I kept thinking, oh my god, when's it going to kick us out of the book?
That. Love it. Oh man. I like this so far.
Me too. Yeah.
This is great.
Also, it's really short. Yeah. So I'm excited to read more of these.
I know. I'm hoping it's like a three-parter.
You're going to finish the physical book tonight.
Yeah, Becca's going to read it.
Don't do that because we don't have the surprise.
Yeah.
Well, Jordan, what did you think about Phantom Valley, the evil one?
I am compelled. I want to know more. I hate to say it, I'm just
doll
like...
Doll's face is hilarious.
For as stupid as the ghost bits and pieces were, as the ghost bits and pieces were.
Yeah, that's not a pedophile sex
I've
doll.
Done,
Jesus. Chris.
I've done very similar things with D&D, so it's like, yeah. No, I'm like, yeah, this... like I'm. Yeah, that's a hook.
Yeah.
It's a hook.
Yeah.
What do we think the evil one means?
I think it's the doll. I think the doll killed her.
Or do we think that Allegra is an evil ghost?
I think
I don't know. The doll is like glowing red. That seems
or
the doll
be like an avenge me situation.
Yeah, the doll has glowing red
avenge
eyes
me.
And the ghost avenge me. The doll has glowing red eyes. And the ghost beckoned her to her own gravestone.
I'm tired of hearing beckoned.
Which really,
it sounds too close
there's
to my
no
mind.
Other word for it, Becca. Couldn't. She brought her to her own gravestone, which to me smacks of a you know, find out what happened. I wrongfully died.
I'm willing to bet the ghost is a quest giver and the doll has something to do with connected to something that's a problem. Mm-hmm. It may or may not be Bridget's ancestor being an asshole.
So you think Bridget's to blame?
The Bridget family line.
Yeah.
Well, on the front it says Monica found the doll, now a ghost wants it back. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm calling it now. Mrs. Danita is, like, strangely a descendant of the Chalines.
Hmm.
And that's why she's headmistress.
Maybe.
Interesting. Interesting.
You have a ghost roommate too? Cool. Let's bond over that.
I thought you were doing a whole, like, do you have a ghost roommate too? Write us at podcast@cactusrodeo.com.
I mean, you can and should if you have a ghost roommate.
Honestly,
write us.
Do you have a ghost roommate? Please fucking write us at podcast@cactusrodeo.com. Well, Jordan, I hope thank you so much for being our guest on this episode.
Of course.
I hope you listen to the rest of the episodes to find out what happens with
Monica. I mean, hey, if you want to invite me back, I'm feeling compelled.
I'm not going to invite you back. You're just going to tell you to listen.
You have to listen to the next
episode.
You're
going to listen to the next one. We do a different guest every time. You bitch. Oh, he's so mad. No, I didn't mean it.
I think he's confused at your tone.
We're mean out of love.
This is how we are.
All right.
Here's my question. Is this a deliberate, you deliberately have something different every time?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
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 We're okay.
We have a different guest
book.
Every episode of a book.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. Do you have that many friends?
No.
We don't.
There's
We've
a lot
asked
of...
you guys a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it hasn't worked out in a while.
We always have John Walker as the last guest on book, but throughout the book, we do a different person every time.
And if someone suggests a book, we usually have them as the first guest.
Yeah. Uh-huh. If only just to have John Walker's reaction to the book.
And to have him cheer us up with his general manner if we get to the end of a terrible book like Animorphs suffering through.
He's a good buttress for the show. Yeah.
Jordan would be a great Animorphs guest.
Oh, we would, yeah. You would love Animorphs.
Do you think so?
No, I don't think he would love it.
Based on what I know about Animorphs, probably not.
Jordan would be a great guest for Animorphs for me to watch it break his brain.
That's what I was going to say. I think what Chris is saying is that Animorphs...
about the Yerks.
Animorphs would be a good foil for Jordan. That's what Chris is saying.
I would be a good person to subject... to Animorphs.
Correct.
To watch my reactions.
And let's be very clear. Every single time we've read Animorphs, that is exactly
what
we're doing.
We're
subjecting every person that comes on as a guest to...
Including
ourselves. Yeah, Animorphs is a waking nightmare that go back to.
Bug fighters! Alright, we gotta let them go have dinner.
Yeah, please go have dinner. Thank you guys so much for listening to this first episode of Phantom Valley, the evil one. Come back and listen to the rest of it. Follow us cactusrodeo.com/podcast if you want to write us. It's podcast@cactusrodeo.com. And you can check out Below Grade Level wherever you find podcasts. And you can follow us on Instagram and what's the other one? TikTok. Instagram and TikTok. You can follow on there. Lots of clips. I'm trying to be better at social media, and I'm trying to post more clips and get the word out more. So if you happen to be listening to this and you're kind of new to the show, let us know what you think and tell other people about the show and feel free to repost our clips. Just get the word out because we have a lot of fun doing this, and I think some of the people who have started listening to it that, you know, don't know us have liked it. So we want to get the word out about the show. And if you have any books to recommend also, let us know. Anyway, that's it for us, Below Grade Level. Chris, you look like you wanted to say something.
If you like me and Jonathan's shtick, mm-hmm. which we understand is not for everyone, you should also check out The Sketchy Show, which we are both
very
on.
Unpalatable.
What a way to...
where we improvise sketches and then Jonathan edits it into something magical.
Yeah.
And it's very short episodes. They're usually about like 20 to 40 minutes. And check it out.
Yeah. That one's very fun. Less frequent because I have to edit a lot of it. And also check out our other new show called Casting Dreams, where me and Patrick Anderson talk about the history of the Sega Dreamcast. That just started airing. And it's very, very fun. And it's very nerdy. It's super fucking nerdy. It's all video game oriented. So if you're into video games and the Dreamcast and all that kind of retro gaming shit, check out Casting Dreams. Okay, that's enough. Thank you for listening. Come back next time. We love you. Bye.
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 Below Grade Level is a Cactus Radio production. You can contact us at podcast@cactusrodeo.com. Subscribe and follow on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. And follow Cactus Rodeo on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for more entertainment and updates.